Good evening. Tonight's shiur is Le'ilu Nishmas Nosson Ben Doiv Shrage. Is Neshama Shedev Naliyah. Tonight we're going to be learning the end of Simon Reish Ein Zayin Mirtz Hashem, as well as Reish Ein Ches. Reish Ein Ches is just one sif in Shulchan Aruch, but it's a very, very, very important Mishneh Bura, which is Sif Kotten Gimel, which is explaining and is going to put it all straight once for good, all the concept of Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. So it's a quite a long Mishnah Berurah, but I do want to see it inside Im Yetzer Hashem due to its importance. Okay, so we are in the middle of Simon Reish Ein Zayin. In fact, we're in the middle of Seif Gimel, and I want to just finish off the Seif before we proceed with Seif Dalet, which just tells me just the Gemara. Mikol Mokim Muta Liga Betavla Hoil Veinu Metaltel Aneh. So these are the words of the Gemara. So whilst it's true that we have learned the concept of a bosses, and we learned that a bosses, which is a tray or something that holds, which is the base of something which holds a davar also, we learned that a bosses becomes also is a tiltul in its own right. So mikomokum muta liga betavla oil ve'eino betaltel aneh. So he said that it's true that a bosses is also to betaltel, to carry around a bosses. However, with regards to touching, muta liga betavla. Touching of a bosses is mutter. So in the case of the candles, the silver candles on the tray, you're not allowed to move the tray, but you are allowed to touch it. Since you're not moving, you're not metaltel the neir. If there's candles in the Beis HaKnesses lit, so and the candles are lit on it, you're not allowed to shockle it. You don't have to shake it, you don't have to move it, but to touch it is mutter to touch. So that's what the Gemara is teaching us with regards to bosses, that a bosses is mutter to be touched, but not to be moved. Seif Dalet, top of page 116. Mutter laniach neir shel Shabbos. That's a very nice one. Mutter laniach neir shel Shabbos, mi boidyoim al gabe ilon, vidlak shom be Shabbos. A lantern. If you're hanging a lantern on a tree, can you picture that? To hang a lantern on a tree? Yeah. So a lantern on a tree, mi bo'yoyim before Shabbos, al gab, mutar laniach neir shel Shabbos, mi bo'yoyim al gab ilon, vidlak shom b'Shabbos. You'll have to hang up a lantern, you know the ones with glass that you can hang up? You can hang it up on Friday, al gab ilon on a tree, so it's dangling down, hanging on a tree, vidlak shom b'Shabbos, and it's going to be lit on Shabbos, will be what kind of case could it be? Why would you hang it on a tree?
So when you leave shul, Motzei Shabbos, it's
not pitch black. Not pitch black on Motzei Shabbos. Well, on Motzei Shabbos, yeah, or even like, yeah, when people come in before Motzei Shabbos, yeah, that it's lit for Shabbos, or Friday night, yeah, that's right, Friday night, you light it there, so on Friday night, people who leave, it's going to be lit there, it's going to be like, yeah. So that would be, yeah, in front, in the courtyard of the shul, for instance, that's a good example. So you're allowed to. To lekel mechash, you don't have to be concerned. We're not concerned, we're not worried. When it's going to get extinguished, is going to take it off the tree, and he's going to use mishtamish mechuba. He's going to turn it up and he's going to use mishtamish mechuba. This is like zera. You're not allowed to use mechuba. You're not allowed to be mishtamish. You're not allowed to use mechuba trees. Anything which is a live tree. You're not allowed to have any. And you're not allowed to be mishtamish. Why not? It's zera because you're gonna. Yeah, that's right. You're gonna. It's zera. Don't use trees. You're not allowed to be mishtamish with trees. So you would have thought maybe that you're not allowed to hang up a lantern on a tree on Shabbos, because when it gets extinguished, you're going to be concerned. When it gets extinguished, you're going to take it off, and by taking it off, you are mishtamish b'mechuba. You may have to climb up a bit. You may have to go up a bit. You may end up using the tree, which is also on Shabbos. So you don't have to. You don't have to be worried about that. You're fine. We don't have to be concerned about the ishtamshus of her tree. And you are allowed to hang up this lantern on Friday and it's going to be lit on Shabbos. But if it's a candle for Yom Tov, that would be also. Because maybe, perhaps, when it comes to Yom Tov, you may... what's the difference? Why on Yom Tov, maybe, perhaps, you're going to... As Shulchan Aruch says, Shokilo Monachle, you're going to take it and you're going to put it back down. You may take it off and hang it back up again. And by doing that, maybe you're going to have to, you're going to use the tree on Shabbos. Very likely you're going to use the tree on Shabbos, on Yom Tov. And therefore, on Shabbos, you are allowed to have a lantern hanging on a tree. Because on Shabbos, you're not going to pull it, you're not going to take it away. So you're not going to be mishtamash be'ilah b'Shabbos. However, when it comes to Yom Tov, you wouldn't be allowed to have this hanging lantern on Yom Tov, on a tree. Because since you're allowed to take it on and off, so therefore it could be that you can hang up climbing the tree on Yom Tov, and that would be also. So therefore we find that what is mochamo? Yom Tov is mochamo. That this is a very nice question. If anybody wants to ask one of those questions, you know, the pula. So, is there ever something that is also on Yom Tov and Mutter on Shabbos? So the answer is yes. As we see over here in Shulchan Aruch, the halacha of hanging a lantern before Shabbos on a tree. So on Yom Tov, the halacha is also because you may end up being mishtamesh be'ilon. And on Shabbos, the halacha is it's Mutter because you're not going to take it off and so it's not going to take it to put it off and take it off, and therefore there's no chashash of climbing up the tree. Yeah. Well, sometimes that's a bit in line with this. Yeah, correct. Yeah. So we find over here a chumra, chomi Shabbos mi Yom Tov. Yeah.
How would someone be mishtamish with a tree?
On Shabbos Yom Tov,
what does mishtamish mean?
I suppose by climbing up and hanging it,
So by hanging it alone is being mishtamish with
a tree? Yes, so I was wondering, I don't know, good point, I was wondering about that. I don't know if there's any way of hanging there. No, I suppose that, no, one second, if it's hanging there before Shabbos, you're not mishtamish, but that is... To hang it up on Shabbos, that would be also. But if it's hanging there before Shabbos, then it's not Issa. What's your question exactly? I don't know if I'm answering your question.
The question is, you're not allowed to hang it up onto the tree in case you will be mishtamash with the tree, but hanging up onto the tree is being mishtamash with the tree.
You think on Yom Tov, why is it also, what are you asking on? Why is it also on Yom Tov?
You're not allowed to hang out the lantern on the tree in case you come to be
mishtamash
with the tree.
Yeah, no, you're not allowed to hang it even before Shabbos. Yeah, even for Yom Tov. Good. Sif Yud. Sif Hey. Mota lichvois ka'oro gabi aneila to cover. You put a ka'oro, take an upside down pot and put it over al gabi ne on top of the candle b'Shabbos on Shabbos. Kedesh lo'echois ha'ur b'koiro so that it doesn't catch fire chas v'sholem. So if you've got a kind of little fire, you have to cover it on top. You're allowed to do that. Mishnah Berurah explains in Sif Katan Chof Beis the reason for that. Shalcheir is of earthenware of China. Aval shenat matchas also, but if it's metal, you're not allowed to take a metal bowl and put it on top of the fire. That would be also. Ki ha-mechamo yichai mishumavi, because when it comes to metal, you're over on havora by putting it on top of the fire. The candle. Av imlo b'mokum sheish lovei chashash al de'ad lokel, this is called the fosh mutal b'chol gavna. But if it is any concern of pakach nefesh, of tleka, of fire, then of course you're allowed to do anything. But we're not talking about that. We're just talking about having a little fire and you want to put something on top. So if it's a earthenware, you're allowed to put it on top. It's but metal, you have a problem over here, because if I'm putting a metal clay on top, what's going to happen is you're going to be heating up the metal clay to an extent. You're going to open up avora. Metal will absorb the heat. It will get very, very hot. Yeah. Okay, so that's what Mishnah Berurah explains. Why is it mutar? Chav. Yeah, here it is. That's right. Chav Dalet. Yeah. Also, if it's too light, the room is too light, you want to dim it a bit, you're allowed to cover it, or for any other purpose. It's not just for fire hazard. You're allowed to take a bowl and cover the fire. There should be some air space in between, so it don't get extinguished. So the halacha is as follows. You're allowed to take and put a bowl or any keli, put it on top of the candle, as long as you keep some. I suppose the point is that it's oxygen remains there, that it doesn't get extinguished. You're not to do that with the earthenware, you're not to do it with metal, because metal is going to be over on avora. Okay. Simen reishain ches. It is, there are some rishonim hold that it's actually you're over on bishul by doing that. But Mishnah Berurah here says, what does he say over here? He says, Avora.
I've heard that you can like temper metal, so the first time you use a kli is also in Shabbos because you're tempering it on Shabbos. If you take a brand new kli.
Yeah, indeed. That doesn't apply nowadays anymore, I don't think, but
right,
yes.
Because it will be tempered, but the thing is but that was the chashash. But I understand, why is heating up metal an issue?
Either havora, because you're creating, it's that's havora. That's actually got to do with the electricity shadow, the chazanish. That you're creating, there's some rishonim hold that it's bishul. And some rishonim hold that it's, Mishnah Berurah says havora, because you are in a way creating you're mavi, you're lighting up something which is really, you could create fire that itself. It is, you've basically made it into a fire hot item. It is close to fire. Not creating a flame, but that's the chiddush of havara, according to those who showed him, that you don't actually physically need to have a flame. You need to have something which is red hot.
They're not even changing color.
Yeah, but what is the physical, the state of nearly red hot metal?
But you're not going to get red hot. I mean, if you, I don't know what metals they use, but the melting temperature of...
Not melting, but it is something which...
Metal change color needs to be hot. Yeah. Candle. I mean, if you're talking about
all I know from kashering, if you've got metal which you put over a naked flame,
yeah.
It will, even if it doesn't get red hot, but it will get so hot that if you put a paper there, it will burn the paper. Does that make sense? What I'm saying is that you have metal. The reason why you've got havara is because it is close to. Correct. Correct. Yeah, that's right. I think that's a true statement to make.
So how is it to do chazara in Gansan?
So that's the truth is that there is discussion there about you're saying with an empty pot.
Well, anything.
No, a filled pot will not take that much heat. It will not get to that level. It will not get that level of heat.
Well, you're getting the flame is going to the metal before it's getting to the.
Yeah. But it is, I suppose the answer is that there is a difference in heat. There's a difference between a pot which contains food. You know, you don't have avora there, it doesn't have that level of heat. As opposed to the ka'or turning upside down over here, which is going, but after many hours being on top of a naked flame, you can have a different kind of temperature.
I bet you, if you were to put a proper thermometer on it, you would find that it wouldn't make any difference. I'm not sorry to be difficult, I'm just saying I
don't think it would make any difference at all. Is that everybody agreeing to that statement? That it is pretty much the same heat? Okay, I don't know. I probably don't know.
As much heat as you can get out of a candle, that's how much heat you can get into a piece of metal, right?
Come about it's upside down.
What difference does it make?
It's upside down. The heat just stays in.
Well, if you've got teichin in a pot, then that's certainly keeping the heat. I mean, potatoes absorb heat much better than air. If you've got a pot of potatoes on a fire, then the potatoes are going to get much hotter inside the pot than the air inside an upside down bowl.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't got a full answer. Okay. Yeah. Point taken. This is the concept of Melach Shein Tzricha LeGuf, which we'll be seeing now in Shulchan Aruch, which is as follows. Motan Lechabos Haneh, you like to extinguish a candle. Bishvil Shiton HaChoyle, when you've got an ill person, he wants to sleep and it's too light. You've got a candle in the room and Abba Techole wants to sleep, he's unwell. There's nothing worse than being unwell and not being able to sleep. It's very, very uncomfortable. But the Shulchan Aruch does add the words over here, which we're going to discuss as well in Mitzvah Hashem. What kind of chole are we talking about? We're talking about a chole sheyesh b'sakana, dangerously ill person that goes within the category of pikuach nefesh. So, the halacha is, you're allowed to extinguish a candle for a chole sheyesh b'sakana. If it's a very ill person that is in danger, you're allowed to extinguish the candle on Shabbos if needed. Let us see what the Mishnah Berurah says over here. With regards to Sifkot and Aleph, I am Barama Perish Mishnah Shikosa. The first point that the Rambam makes in Perish Mishnah is Tadafka Bishyev Shaloitzi Acholim Makam Acher. That is only if the Chole cannot be moved. Imagine he can easily wheel him, move him out, walk him out into a different room which is dark. You've got to do that. You can't just say, oh, he's a Chole, let's switch on and off all the lights. You can't do that. Even though he's a Chole Sheesh by Sakona, you must seek alternatives. Well, the hasti ra'oyim meni, if you can dim the light, that's also best. For roitz ra'oyim al dekfias akli al gabov, also if you can, any other way you can do it, any alternative way you can achieve this, you should do so. If you move to a different room, that's best. But if there's no alternatives, then yes, you can extinguish the light. What happens if the chole wakes up later, now it's dark in the room, and he wants to eat and drink something, and he'll have to switch the light on again for him or not? Yeah. Or is he just extinguishing, which is Menachshet Chaluf? You'll have to? Mishnah Berurah says, Kotten Beis, Lechabas and Vekshiyokitzach, Kach, when he wakes up later, Mutalit Loikana, yes, you'll have to switch it on again. This is the Chole, Sheyesh Bezakona, gentlemen. He's an ill person, you'll have to do anything for him. Bekoach Nefesh. For Kol Zeh, Mein Yehudi, Mezum Elefon of Efshal Asolet, Al-Bli Icho, Yasel, Yodoy, this only if there's no goy available. Now this is a great discussion, which we shall limit Shem discuss, and Shem and Shin Chav Ches. There's a lot of discussion, if you should ideally use a goy or not, and the Mishnah Berurah just directs us into that simon, which is simon shin chav ches, which by the way happens to be the first simon that we learned in Dirshu Chaburo Edgeware some years ago. And shin chav ches, that is discussed in great detail about if you should rather use a goy or not, or you should rather do it through Yid. Because the argument is that better Yid should do it, why should Yid do it? Why better Yid? He care much more. But others say, no, better to do a goy, because... Yeah, that's the Hatzolah rate, and that's the question is, as to whether you should have a goyish driver, or a Yiddish driver in Hatzolah, and that's part of the discussion. Okay. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, Acholei Sheyesh B'Sakana. So we've got Halachah, Acholei Sheyesh B'Sakana, you're allowed to extinguish the light, and you're allowed to light it again for him as well, so you've got Gimel Acholei Sheyesh B'Sakana. Shepikuach Nefesh! What about dangerous men? List him, robbers, thieves, dangerous people. So you're allowed to, if you've got dangerous people and they get attracted by light, you want to just switch the light off quickly so that they don't see it, you have no idea that you're around, you're allowed to do so. So if they're dangerous men, you're allowed to do that. If he fears his life, and there's no option of covering up the light in any way, yes, you're allowed to switch the light off. So that would be a case. That would be somebody who's in a dangerous place or in an uncomfortable kind of area. Or he ended up there for Shabbos for some reason, and it's really, really dangerous. So if you're just worried about your money, you wouldn't be allowed to. But if you're genuinely worried about your life, you're allowed to switch the light off. And that's the words of the Mishnah, that if you're worried about dangerous men, you're allowed to switch the light off, if there's a genuine danger. Now, Kohachonim, right, the word in, this same applies also, Bishwil Acholish, you suffix a con. What happens if this man is not really, we don't know for sure that he's in a dangerous situation. We believe he is, we think he is, he might be dangerous. He might be in life danger, but we're not sure for 100% as that. So nevertheless, Bishwil Acholish, you suffix a con, Gamkin Mutal Chabos, you have to extinguish the light if it's suffix a con too. However, Bishwil Acholish, Embis a con also Lechabos. But if it's just a Cholish, Embis a con, if it's not dangerously ill person, you're not allowed to extinguish that. The kulam call all opinions. Now, he says, That's where we go into the very deep and important halachas of melacha she'enetzrich legufa. There is a rule of melacha she'enetzrich legufa. Melacha that melacha legufa means as follows: a melacha, every melacha, that all the 39 melachas that we are given are only also medraisa. It's machlokes in the Gemara, but we paskan that melacha she'enetzrich legufa is only also if the melacha is done in a way that it's the normal, that for its normal regular purpose. If you're performing the melacha for not a regular way, then it's called melacha she'enetzrich legufa, and that is only mishnebu paskins over here medrabanon. That's only medrabanon. So the case over here is that normally the case that I'm going to mention it now because mishnebu brings it later, but I'm going to mention it now. Why? What would normally people extinguish lights for? What's the typical reason of extinguishing something?
Going to sleep. Bandits, robbers.
I was hoping you wouldn't say that. Okay, so normally the action of extinguishing, according to the Gemara, is that normally a person extinguishes fire because he wants actually to create something very positive from it. It's not the negative aspect of not having light. Rather, the reason why normally would extinguish something because he wants to create the coals, the ash from it, which would serve a purpose at a different time. It's for recycling. Normally kibui is done for the coals. That's the normal purpose. So therefore, according to that, that's melacha. If that melacha of kibbu is done for its regular purpose, that's because you're extinguishing the light because you want to have the coals which you want to use for firing purpose. But if you're extinguishing the light for any other reason, such as for the negative, because you don't want light, because you're dangerous, because it's dangerous, because it's too light, because of anything like that, then it would be called melacha, you're extinguishing. The physical act you're doing is identical. But the purpose of what you're doing, it's a melacha she'eino tzricha, which is not needed legufa for its regular purpose. Let me give another example, which is Gemara's most famous example. One of the famous examples, Mishnah Berurah is going to bring it shortly. Why will normally a person dig? Normally a person will dig.
He wants the hole.
That's right. That's right.
Or to dig up vegetables in that time.
Very good.
Plant their own vegetables.
Very good. Absolutely. 100%. So normally a person would use the hole because he normally digs a hole because he wants the hole. So therefore, digging, which is a melacha, digging is a melacha d'oraisa if you want the pit. However, what happens if you're digging because you want the stones? What if you want the earth? So then you look from the external, it looks like you're doing the same action. Physically speaking, you're doing the same action of digging. But now it becomes only melacha she'enetzrich legufa, which is the rabbanon. Why? Because you're not doing it for the sake of the digging, for the regular, normal sake of digging. You're doing it because you want the earth. And that's melacha she'enetzrich legufa. Now, melacha she'enetzrich legufa, and that's a key concept, is only with the rabbanon. Melacha she'enetzrich legufa is with the rabbanon. And that's what Mishnah continues now. He said, if that's the case, then surely, what's the case if somebody has a choyle she'ein bo sakana? Somebody is not well, but not dangerous. Not pikuach nefesh. He's got a slight headache and he can't sleep because he's got a slight headache. He just finished. He had a long week, a tough week. That's it. He's got a headache. He wants to go to sleep and the light is positively disturbing him. He wants to now switch off the light. Is that the reis or the rabbonon? The rabbonon. Why is it the rabbonon? You're right. Why is it the rabbonon? It's not for the main reason. It doesn't need the coals. It's a melach she'enetzrich legufa. So if that's the case, is it mutter or awesome? I'm saying, so would he be allowed to do it? He's still not allowed to do it, but it's mutter abonon. But the Mishnah Berurah points this out, and let me read those words. But for a choyle who is not in danger, you're not allowed to extinguish. All opinions. Even if you hold, and that's how we do paskin, that it is melach she'enetzrich legufa. Nevertheless, also with the soivim, also with rabbanon. That's why it's called a melacha she'enetzrich legufa. Sharei ein tzorich letachlis ha-melacha, because you don't need the tachlis, the goal, the aim, the regular, the aim, what's the right word for that? You don't need the aim of the melacha? No, that's not the right word. You don't need the purpose of the melacha, the regular intention. You don't know the outcome. It's the outcome. Yeah, you don't need, yeah, maybe outcome. You don't need the regular purpose of the melacha. You don't need the kibbul for itself. You're extinguishing for an external reason, additional reason. The choyle should sleep. Or you want to save yourself the oil. You want to save some of the oil. Or you care about the candle. Shouldn't get burnt. You want to look after it. So therefore he said all that is not you don't want the regular intention of the melacha. Right, he gives another few examples. I'm going to skip them due to lack of time, but I want to just go to the end, last three lines of the Mishnah Berurah. He said that Rambam holds that Melachshin Tzichel Leguf is also Medraisa, but many poskim hold that it's actually only Medrabonon, and that's the mice, so we have to keep those two opinions in mind. Okay, Rabbi Sai, to summarize what we've covered tonight, we learned tonight the halacha that you're allowed to touch a bosses, but you're allowed to move a bosses. We learned the interesting case of something which is also on Yom Tov and Mutter on Shabbos, which is hanging a lantern on a tree. There is a gzera on Yom Tov, which doesn't apply on Shabbos. Shabbos, you cannot return it. And we learned about placing a upside down pot or whatever it is, a kor, a bowl, on a candle. You're allowed to do that if as long as you're not for sure extinguishing it. You're allowed to do that with earthenware, but you're not allowed to do it with metal. Finally, we learned that when you've got a chole sheyesh b'sakona chalila, then you're allowed to extinguish the light for him. In fact, you're allowed to light it again as well. But that's only with regards to chole sheyesh b'sakona. Chole she'en b'sakona, although it's a melach shen tzichel gufa, nevertheless it's going to be awesome with the rabbonon. And then we went into great detail to discuss a bit the definition, and it's the main thought of the Melach Shen Tzichel Gufa, which the Mishnah Berurah brings that the Rambam holds with the Reise, but many poskim holds with the Rabbanon.